All right. Let me say some things while I'm just getting set up here. First of all, yeah, absolutely. I hope you guys have fun celebrating Juneteenth this week. The two times of the year that Tyler looks forward to, like it's like locked in on the calendar, the months of November and December, because that's Thanksgiving and Christmas, and I just sleep a bunch and have fun. And then this time of June and July, I just go like full-blooded American. Like you're gonna see me in like tank tops with like eagles and just like bandanas. I love this season because it's just fun summer. And so I hope you guys have fun this week with your family celebrating freedom. It's a big deal. I do also want to say a big thank you to Zach last week. Absolutely crushed it. Zach, thank you, my brother. We are excited about church planting and resourcing churches like Greg just shared. We want to resource churches as well as plant churches, and we want to develop men and women to plant these churches out. And so Zach is a guy who's on team here. We love his heart, his leadership, and it was just so great to see it in action. And I got so much feedback from you guys, but just want to say it publicly, man. Awesome job. Happy Father's Day to the dads out there. Yes. If there's one position I love in my entire, it is being a dad. You don't know what your day is going to look like, and I love that sometimes. And just, it is so good to be a dad. Here's what I want to do today. I feel like the Lord's been speaking to me for the last several weeks about the role of men, and specifically for fathers and husbands. And even today's sermon, I want to gear it towards you men, because I feel like the Lord has put an emphasis to say, hey, speak to the men, especially this week of all weeks with Father's Day. And so I just want to share just something that was happening in worship as like kind of a prophetic thing that I think the Lord wants to do today. And this is what I would say, and then I want to take a moment just to pray for the dads in the room. Some of the biggest shaping forces in my life have been legitimate authorities that God has put over my life, and they speak life to me, and they have shaped me. My own father, my spiritual father, and Greg, many spiritual fathers here, our eldership team. There are people in my life that because the Lord used them in a specific way, it brought life and capacity to me. In that same way, there have been moments where either illegitimate voices have spoken into my life and have caused harm, or legitimate voices in my life who said something not well, yeah, and it shaped. And so there's a power that comes in our tongue. The Bible says, Proverbs 18:21, life and death in the power of the tongue. And I feel like the Lord, even today in this preaching, in our time of worship, I feel like the Lord wants to break off illegitimate authorities that have spoken over you. There's been these words about almost like people have signed contracts, but the contracts are flawed and they're not legitimate, and the Lord wants to rip them up today. I feel like in order for us to experience godly spiritual leadership, which is what we're gonna talk about today, specifically as well to the men, in order for us to do that and to install that godly leadership, we have to remove bad leadership. That God does not condone ungodly leadership, even if you put Christian words around it. And so when it comes to spiritual abuse or things that have shaped your heart, I feel like the Lord is going, hey, I think things like therapy and counsel, at the same time, I believe that the counselor, can break things off of hearts. So can I just pray for us, and then I want to just pray for the dads. Is that okay? Holy Spirit, I just ask for you to take up lordship in this space right now. Where your spirit is, there is freedom, and where your spirit is, it just drives out darkness. And so, Lord, where there has been hurts in our heart because of careless words, I pray, Lord, that you would break those things today. You would go beyond my words even now as we open up the scripture, and would you use our voices, especially as fathers, to define and bring life to our homes in Jesus' name. I'm gonna take a moment to pray for the dads, but I think that there might be more for us even after the sermon today. I wasn't sure if I wanted to take a moment to honor dads before or after. If you're a dad in the house, though, would you just stand for me real quick? If you are a father here, I'm gonna take a brief moment. Yeah. Stay standing for me. Stay standing for me. Man, I'm so grateful. Stay standing for me just for a moment. I want to pray for us. I've said this before and I believe it with all my heart. If you gave me 10 men like some of you, I could take a city. We can take a city with this group of men here. I believe it with all my heart. I believe that the Lord has called us to do work in the spirit for the sake of our families and for society, and we cannot do it alone, that we are called to a level of brotherhood, and you as fathers are called to not only love your families, but to spiritually lead families in this home. I'm so grateful that the Lord has not just called me to this work, but he has called me to this work alongside you men. And so if you are with your dads, if you're there, would you just put a hand on them? I want to pray a blessing over them. And in our time, my hope is that we actually have our dads pray a blessing over us as well, along with some husbands to join us in this regard, because I also believe in spiritual fatherhood as well. Lord, thank you so much for the dads in this room. Lord, would you bless them? Would you give them strength? Lord, we believe with all of our hearts that you have a design for healthy homes, and it begins with healthy leadership in fathers and mothers. You give us leadership to guide us, to watch over us, to take care of us. And your word says that when it comes to fathers and husbands, there's a special headship that we bring. It's fully submitted to your spirit, but it's also to bring life to our homes. Lord, I pray life over our homes, and we say thank you for dads, especially dads like the ones that we have here in this room. Blessings for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated for a moment. All right, so here's where I want to go. This is for free. You might not even care as much as I do. I sometimes get caught in the weeds of the present moment, and then I start going 30,000 foot view, and I think 6 months ahead. And so this is a, hey, if you're a visionary type individual who wants to know where we're going in the last few months, you're going to love this. If not, you're going to be like, why is he talking about something 6 months from now? I feel like the Lord, when it comes to healthy homes, which is a vision that we have here at Northlands, and I'll talk a little bit about that today because it's where our sermon is going. I believe that the Lord wants us to open up the Word of God in this next season and really talk about what does the Bible say about a godly home. What I mean by that is I'm feeling probably September and October, we'll have a series, something along the design of God. And I want to talk about the design that God has for men. I want to talk about the design he has for women. I want to talk about the design of marriage. I want to talk about the design of sexuality and gender. I want to talk about these things because where there is no clarity, people perish. Where there's no vision, people perish. And I feel like our culture has a very loud voice about these things, but they are speaking about truths that they do not understand because it's not founded on the Word of God. And so I say all of that to say, Lord willing, many plans in my heart, the Lord's going to direct the path. But Lord willing, I want to talk about those things in the upcoming months. We have a few other, some series that we need to do beforehand. But today is a bit of a taste of this. So I say all of that to say, I have 50 pages of notes. And we're not leaving till I get through them. No, I'm just kidding. No, I know that I cannot fully express every bit of detail of what I want to express when it comes to a godly home, a godly marriage, godly men, godly women. What I will say is while I might not be able to go fully into it, what I do say will be said from the scriptures and the word of God. So don't do that thing where you go, well, he could have said this, 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 and this. I go, I know, I don't have the time. What you hear me say, though, he'll be able to say, hey, Tyler said this, and I think that there's probably more there. There is, but what he said was from the Word of God. So I'm standing on a foundation here of the scriptures, and that's where I want us to go today. Here's where I'll begin. I was at a men's retreat a couple years back. It was really cool. We talked everything from leadership to being a husband to being a father, and it was a really incredible experience. I loved the time, and we had different sessions on different things, and one of the sessions was on spiritual leadership. And the emphasis was all the stats and studies that show, hey, if men engage spiritually, where we see this, not just biblically, but where we see it in society at large, where men engage spiritually and lead, societies flourish. When they are doing their God-given responsibilities in the way that God designed it to be, there's human flourishing. And where there's not, we see a disintegration of that thing. I would argue that for women as well. When women do their God-given design, there's a human flourishing. We bring our strengths and then we operate the way God designed us, human flourishing happens. And so we're watching this 15-minute Devo video, and it's really, I mean, I liked it a lot. It was all about going, hey, man, we want to see a revival in the U.S., and when men lean in, if men would rise up spiritually, man, we would see revival in America. And I'm like, I'm all for this. Just wait till July when I'm wearing my tank top with an eagle. Let's take revival. It's going to be awesome. So we're watching this video. I'm getting that dopamine rush of like, let's take the hill. And I love that. And in their generosity, it was so generous. They resourced us in a number of ways. And they give us the book at the end of this video about, hey, husbands, we want to equip you for spiritual leading and showing up and being present for your family. And they give us a book generously. And I read the book title and two thoughts come to mind. Number one, I have never been more insulted. In my job, the content I'm sure was good, doctrinally I'm sure it was good, the title just threw me. And number two, based off of the title of the book, I was like, we're never gonna have revival in the U.S. if these are the books that are equipping men. You're like, what book is this? I'll tell you in just a minute. But first, I want to talk. I want to talk about spiritual headship. I want to talk about healthy homes, and I want to talk about healthy headship. When we say healthy homes, if you're brand new to Northlands, man, I'd love for you to watch a series that we did in March. It's a five-part series, more than just a moment in our community, really about our vision and our culture here. When we say healthy homes at Northlands, I'm talking about two things. I'm talking about the mission that we are called to as a church community, which is right there on the back of the wall. We build churches. That's what we do here. We are about building churches and building into churches. What Greg and Michelle just did with Vertical Church, we want to resource churches, because when churches are living out the mission, the Great Commission of God, and they are beachheads in a community, ministry thrives from those places, as it should, if it's done well. So we want to build more churches, and we want them to feel like healthy homes. And the reason we want them to feel like healthy homes is we believe that the culture we live in has an orphan spirit. And Jesus did this often. He would preach about the kingdom of God, and he would say, the kingdom of God's like a farmer who goes to sow seed, and then all the farmers would listen in. So what we want to do here at Northlands is we want to go, hey, the kingdom of God is like a healthy home, and you're invited in. And all those with an orphan spirit in a broken and fallen world go, I think he's talking to me, and we are. We want orphans to find spiritual sonship and daughtership. And we want to train those sons and daughters to become fathers and mothers. So when I say healthy homes, I'm talking about the mission of building churches and the culture that we are going to have inside Northlands and that we hope to replicate around the world. We need more healthy homes. Churches like healthy homes. At the same time, the reason I love this language is because it's also how God wants your home to operate and to be. We have a vision here at Northlands. We want to break the common experience of divorce and broken families that sin has broken in a number of ways. We don't want the common experience to be, oh yeah, I came from a divorced family, or I had a divorce, or my parents did, or my grandparents. We want the common experience to be for every child and believer to grow up in a healthy home. It's not a perfect home. And where sin has broken maybe your home and you're thinking about where things have gotten off the rails in your own home, grace will fill those spaces. You will have a grace. I just want to say, let me just, who I'm speaking to in the room today. I'm speaking predominantly to the men today, fathers and husbands. But here's what I want to say. To the ladies, I want to send you home with stronger husbands and fathers. If you're here today and you're a single man, I'm talking to you too. Dress for the job you want, not the job you have. I want to dress you well in what the Bible says. And to my single, all the single ladies, I want you to know this. It is my ambition with my wife as well. We want to have a thriving singles ministry, and I want to do a bunch of weddings over the next 5-10 years. Let's go. He's preaching now. No. I want the pond that you're fishing in to not only be filled with men, ladies. I don't just want the odds of you catching a man here good. I want to make sure that his goods are not odd. You know what I mean? I want to make sure the men, testimony on Northlands website, Lord willing, just like Northlands men, they built different. You know what I mean? Like, I'm hoping for that. Okay. So Brittany, can I put that on the website? No. Okay. She says yes. Okay. Very good. It's fine. We'll see. My heart is to preach about healthy homes, and each of us have a role to play in what makes a healthy home. And today I'm emphasizing husbands and fathers, but Lord willing, I wanna continue to tease this out all the more so that we understand and know what God has designed for us in human flourishing. That is his heart for us and his love for us. Now, if you have your Bibles, would you turn to Psalm 128? I wanna give you a picture of a healthy home as the psalmist writes. And as you're turning there, My heart in this, my wife asked me this question several years ago, and it helped me frame so many of my messages. She goes, hey, Tyler, when you're landing a sermon, don't just go application, hey, what do you want us to do? Maybe take a moment to express, what do you want for us? What do I want for you? Tyler's heart, I might not say things perfectly, but let me just tell you right out of the gate, here's my heart of what I want for you, for your family. It's Psalm 128. I want this picture here. Here's what it says. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your home, and your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Yes, this will be the blessing for the man who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you live to see your children's children. Peace be on Israel. Now, I'm going to tell you that title in just a moment. I know you're thinking about that book. I haven't forgotten. Don't calm down. It's fine. Let me just read you a brief study that Barna did in 2019 when it came to the spiritual leadership and the spiritual conversations and influences in the home. This is what it says. Barna study 2019, 2,347 individuals were surveyed. 1,900 of them were adults, 448 of them teens. And here's what the study said, just very briefly. Primary activity and conversation partners in the home. Mothers were identified as the main housemate for almost all activity, including the talking about God, which they represented 70% of those conversations, as well as praying for their children, 63%. When it comes to the go-to for spiritual questions and conversations, Christian teens predominantly sought out their mothers for questions around faith, representing about 72%, the Bible or conversations about the Bible, 71%, and when they were in trouble spiritually or needing help navigating hard conversations, 78% of the time it went to the moms. Spiritual coaches, mothers were most often identified as the ones encouraging church attendance, 79% of the time, teaching about the Bible, 66%, and sharing the good news of God's forgiveness, 66% of the time. Passing on religious traditions, 72% of the times. Ladies, this for me is an example of how God is going to fill you with grace to lead. If you have an absent husband or there's not a father for your children, if you're a single mom, I just want you to know I have such a heart for you, and the Lord wants to fill that space with grace. He's gonna give you all that you need to lead your kids well, to lead your home well in the absence of where a man should be, as well as he gives you a community and a church filled with men who are elders, as well as women who are there to watch over you, who are elders as well, caring for your family. Where there is sin or where sin has broken something, grace abounds all the more so. So that's not an indictment to the mothers. That for me is going, where are the men? Now, here's the problem that I have with the book that I was given. The title of the book, we're talking about spiritual revival in America. We're gonna take the hill. The little book, about this big, then 5-minute devotionals for men. If that's too much time for you men, there was also a 3-minute devotional and a 1-minute devotional. If 5 minutes was too much. So here, now, didn't read the book, I'm going to assume good doctrine. Here if you're reading it right now, no shame. You can read it in one sitting because it's only 5 minutes, probably 30 minutes worth of content. I hope you enjoy it. It won't be on the journey map, but I hope you enjoy it. Now, here's my challenge with that. The message it sends is, hey, for the modern man, we know your life is busy. But for the modern man who longs to see Psalm 128 in his home, and for the modern man who wants to push back spiritual darkness in the gates of hell, for the modern man who wants to see revival in this nation, but you only got 5 minutes to spare, this book's for you. One of the challenges that I have with studies like Barna is that we have stats and studies of men not stepping into the God-given role that they have. And then instead of going, wow, this is a challenge, we need to call men up to the responsibilities that they have, we lower the bar so incredibly low and go, can you just give us 5 minutes of your time? So speaking to the men, I am not here to lighten your load and responsibility. Why? Because it's God-given responsibility. At the same time, I don't want you to be crushed by the weight of that responsibility. I want to preach messages and pray for you to not lighten your load, to strengthen your shoulders. If there's some, like this, just, I don't even have time to go. It just has to be said. I'm reading history books about not men, boys, lying on drafts to go to Normandy and fight for their country. I'm 18. Nobody believes that, and they're sending them anyway. And then the men in this generation, it's going like, I had a big day. I got over my gluten intolerance. Like, I'm not knocking you if you have a gluten intolerance. Some of my best friends have gluten intolerance. What I'm saying is, I just lost everybody. What? You guys laugh. I'm gonna take some water real quick. When when men are held to a high standard, you know what they do? They go to the standard. When you lower the bar, you're not helping those stats, you're only increasing them all the more. Here's the good news. God does not give you a single responsibility without also giving you God-given grace to fulfill the responsibility. So men, and we said this before, Christians like us do church like this. Men like us lead our lives like this. This is like, we built different, men. Like this is what we are after. So here's what I'm gonna do. I wanna go to Ephesians chapter 5. And just if you're taking notes, here's three things that I wanna pull from Ephesians chapter 5. I wanna talk about spiritual headship. I wanna talk about spiritual authority. I wanna talk about spiritual responsibility, and I wanna talk about spiritual submission. And what I'd like to do as we're walking through this, remember, here's what I'm hoping for. I want Psalm 128 in your home and in my home. I don't think that's hard. Like, so for me, the man who fears the Lord and obeys his command, and it talks about he will eat the fruit of your labor. He's talking to the men. He's going, you are called to do work, to lead your family spiritually. You are called to give yourself to this work. And when you give yourself to these responsibilities, here's what will happen. Your wife will thrive. Your children will thrive. Your grandchildren will thrive. And when it talks about Jerusalem, it's talking about society. When men like us lead like this, not only will our homes thrive, not only will this church thrive, but society thrives. Why? Because that's how God designed us to be. You must fulfill your God-given responsibilities, men, in order to see Psalm 128 realized in your home. I want to talk about how that's possible, and that's why we have to go to Ephesians chapter 5. I want to read Ephesians chapter 5, and I'll read four verses from Ephesians 6. And here's what I want to do. I want to talk about the responsibilities of men, and I want to talk about four responsibilities that are for a husband and three responsibilities for that of a father. And these are the responsibilities, the work that you are called to, the labor that you're called to give yourself to. Any man who says, I fear the Lord, I want to obey them, here's seven things that he calls you to do. And then I want to talk about the grace that he has for you to fulfill those responsibilities. And so just out of the gate, you're going to feel the weight of these responsibilities. You go, Tyler, that's a lot. You want me to go from 5-minute devotional book to this. I'm going, I want you to feel the weight of it. And then I want to give you the grace to hold those things. So here's where we're going. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourself to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with the water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without strain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. Caveat as I continue reading, this is what I'm hoping to cover this fall because there's so much here. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Now we'll talk about parenting and fathering, and here, you'll hear some responsibilities here. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Here's the promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in training and instruction of the Lord. Now, here's what I want to do. I want to just rifle through four responsibilities that you and I have as husbands that the Bible would call us to from Ephesians chapter 5, what we just read. If you're taking notes, number one responsibility that you have, men, is that you are called to love your wife and your family, for that matter, as Christ loves the church. What does that mean? We don't define what love is, the Bible does. Here's how God and Jesus define love: sacrificial service, even to the point of suffering love. You cannot spiritually lead unless you understand and know how to sacrificially love. This is not an easy thing. I think most men, they're going, I'm gonna stand in front of my family. I'm going to, if there's a noise, I'm gonna get my gun. I'm gonna get my bat. I'm gonna stand in front. I'm gonna jump on that grenade. Sometimes dying for your family is a physical expression. Sometimes it's going, hey, you should probably empty the dishwasher. Now I'll jump on the grenade. Like, I'm not gonna do this. So Jesus washed his disciples' feet. If Jesus, who I'd say is pretty important in the kingdom of God, is washing feet, what do you think he's calling us to, men, when it comes to our wives and our families? Lowly in our service and humility. That we are willing to sacrifice for their well-being. Very simply, we die so they can live. People are like, are you gonna talk about submission in the church? I go, submission's not the problem. I'm talking to men like, you should die in every form and fashion. That's a hard message to preach, to convince people to. You should give your life up for who? For everybody in your house and not yourself. That's what biblical leadership is. Jesus says this over and over and over again with his disciples. Paul picks it up as he's writing the letter to Ephesians and going, love your bride, men, like Christ loved the church, to the point of suffering for them. You cannot spiritually lead unless you know how to spiritually love. Number two, when it comes to responsibilities, wash them with the water of the word. This is verse 26. This is the pushback. And we go, well, Tyler, the study shows that men just don't know what that means, or they're not sure how to exposit the text. Your family, for free, your family is not looking for a profound theologian. They are looking for a passionate Jesus follower. You cannot wash your wife with the water of the word if your bucket is empty. And that bucket does not have to be filled with like the ninth heaven revelation, super like true. They're not looking for you to demonstrate how right you are about the word of God, though it's important. They're going, is my father or my husband reading the Bible? You wanna be, the way that you grow in spiritual leadership is that you have a spiritual life. You don't have to go to seminary. You don't have to preach like a preacher. Get in the word of God. You want to spiritually wash your wife and your family, for that matter, with what? Don't have a squirt gun. How do I get a hose? Very simple. Just keep reading the book. It's don't come to your wife going, I have to explain to her some fresh revelation. Go to her and say, here's what I'm wrestling with. I have no idea what this means, but it's impacting my heart deeply. I'm confronted by the word of God. I don't know what to do with it. I need to figure this thing out. Even just expressing to her what you're wrestling with gives her an opportunity to also be washed by his words. They're not your words, they're his. Let him do the washing. You present the words to her. Number three, it comes down to present her. Christ presents his church without spot, blemish, and wrinkle. This is so important. When your wife comes into a space like this or to the store, when people talk to me about spiritual leadership and I'm a leader, I don't look at their portfolio, I'll look at their family. How is your wife presenting herself? I'm not talking about hypocrisy and her putting on a veneer smile that's not real. I'm talking about when we look at our wives and our families, are they like vines that are thriving? Are they like olive shoots around our table? I'm going, Her exhaustion is a problem for you to fix, for me to fix. Sometimes women are exhausted because they're just in exhausted seasons. Sometimes they're exhausted because we're exhausting them. Can I say, everybody's nervous chuckle. I'm just going, present your wife. And how do you present her? You lead her to life. You speak life over her. Number four, love her like your own body. This one's so important. I've just found this to be the case. Your wife is like a mirror to your soul. He makes the point. He goes, she reflects something. You love her like your own self, and nobody hates themselves. If you speak of your wife in a way that is ill, she's the ball and chain, I'm annoyed by her. If you're irritated with your wife, there's something in you that irritates you. She should be thriving on the vine. You should delight in her. And if there's no delight there, I would argue, hey, what's in here that we have to heal? She's reflecting something back to you is what the scripture would say. I'm just letting the weight of these responsibilities, Ty, this is heavy. It's heavy, and this is what the word of God says. Ephesians chapter 6, we now talk about the responsibilities of a father. They'll come up here as well. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, there's three things. Three things. Number one, it says, fathers, don't exasperate your children. What does that mean? Don't diminish them. I gotta say this, for fathers to your son, don't make them feel small. I'm putting them in his place. How about you help him find his place? Help him grow. Don't exasperate your daughter. Do things that annoy her just to get under her skin, because what is that? Don't diminish your child. Instead, two things. Instead of diminishing, number two, discipline. Can I just totally step on culture toes real quick? I'm not telling you how you ought to discipline your kid, but let me tell you one of the things not to do. I just want to get on their level, and I want their voice to be like super heard, and I want to make sure that I'm not like putting anything too much on them. The Bible says, children, obey your parents. I am not of the culture who goes, children are to be seen and not heard, but I'm certainly not of the culture that says a child should have an equal voice as the mother in the house or the father in the house. That's not what the Bible says. Discipline by saying this, not that. Oh, hey, we're not going to do that. Hey, if you do it again, there will be significant consequences. Don't do that. How you work those consequences out, great, but don't do the thing where I just want to get on their level and like, what is it that you want to tell me? Well, I just hate how mom's doing it. I know. Well, honey, he just hates when you do this. Don't negotiate with terrorists. Like, don't do that. Like my daughters are not perfect by any means, but the worst thing that they can do is not disobey. The worst thing they do is when I give an instruction and then I see Evie like walk off, I go, where are you going? She goes, I'm just gonna go talk to mom real quick. Mom and I are on the same team. You're not gonna convince dad to do something that mom, and like there'd be times where I'd be like, oh, like dad, can I do this? I go, sure. And she goes, and then Nicole's like, I just told her she couldn't do that. I go, oh, sorry, you lied. We're not doing that for the next 5 weeks. Like we're just like we're on the same team. We're on the same team. Discipline them, and then give them, so there's training, which is discipline, and then there's instruction, which is wise counsel. If you aren't there to give them counsel, they will get counsel from somewhere else. And the world out there is insane. That's a timeless truth. I'm going, I will not give perfect counsel. I know full well that points of my daughter's future therapy will be because of things that I have said. But here's what's not gonna be said. My dad was never there. I was always there. We have to be there prepared to give wise counsel. Here's responsibilities just in Ephesians 5, and I could keep teasing that out, but it's for another day. Seven responsibilities we have as men, as husbands, and as fathers. Now, responsibility is always heavy and exhausting if you don't have a grace that is given by God. You know what the grace is? God-given spiritual authority. You know this intuitively. Your boss goes, hey, we want to give you some more responsibilities over here. We want you to be thinking like an owner. This is the ironic thing I find. Owners want to give, we want our employees to think like owners, which means we're going to give them 50 more things to do and absolutely no authority to execute those things at all. Is there a raise with this? No, not at all. Same amount of resources. More in the department? No, not at all. A promotion? No, not at all. I want you to think like an owner. I don't want you to be an owner. That would be crazy. You cannot fulfill these responsibilities, men, unless you also have access to the God-given authority that he gives us. And it is a supernatural authority that I want to talk about when we close. Now here's three things, and this is where I'm going to come to my notes. I don't want to step on toes, but I do want to say it truthfully. Number one, the weight of God-given responsibility is only heavy without God-given authority. Number two, you only have God-given authority for accomplishing God-given responsibilities. I understand that there are single moms here because your husband has left and he has left a massive void. I understand that you grew up in a home and your father was not a good man. and he really messed up your heart and your brothers and sisters' heart and your mom's heart. I recognize that reality. And so when I talk about spiritual authority or talk about spiritual submission, you go, I'll never submit to that again because I know what I grew up with. And with full grace, I want to say, absolutely, that does not excuse bad leadership, bad fathering, bad husbands. And what can happen is we say things like, men are called to lead the home. No, husbands, not men. This is October, this is for free. It is not men and women or male and female, and that men are somehow the first-rate citizens of the kingdom of God and women are second-rate. It is to the man who decides to become a husband. What does that mean? I have made a covenant with one woman, and she says, I have made a covenant with one man. And so you are not over my wife. I am over my wife as her head because we have made a covenant. So the Bible says, Tyler, do your responsibility and exercise your authority. And Nicole, submit to Tyler's authority. And I have authority to do the work of God in my life and in Nicole's life. I do not have jurisdiction to wield that authority in a way that would abuse her, hurt her, diminish her in any way whatsoever. And then on top of that, I'm not called to wield that authority in your house, over your wife, or over women here. It is an invited authority. And so if you've been spiritually abused, I am so sorry. I don't want to diminish that at all, and we'll take lots of time to work through that. But for today, what I want you to hear is that is not God at work, and it is not godly, and that is not what I am talking about. I am not excusing bad leadership, but if we throw out leadership and headship because of the bad experiences, we will not experience Psalm 128, which is the reflection of good leadership. Number three, in order for God-given responsibility to be exercised in a home, there needs to be access to God-given authority. And the key to accessing God-given authority is through God-given submission. Ladies, if you would like your husband to do the labor that Psalm 128 speaks of, if you would like to see him do the work necessary so that you thrive and your children thrive and your grandchildren thrive and society thrives, he cannot do it alone. God gave him that authority, but all authority that God gives is invited. Jesus does not preach a gospel and then force that gospel on your heart. He welcomes you to it. He is the head of the man, and he puts in a healthy home, he has a governance, and he says the husband is to be the head and the governor, the steward of this specific home. And if he commits himself to fulfilling those responsibilities well and fears the Lord and demonstrates submission to God as one who also must give an account of submission, he is worth following and submitting. And when you submit to his authority, the responsibilities of God flourish in your home. Again, we'll talk about this more, Lord willing, into the fall. What does submission look like? Can I just say, just practically, this is what Nicole does so incredibly well, even when I need grace and I don't deserve it. She encourages me with her words. She doesn't ridicule me when my behavior does not reflect everything that I am preaching. And on it, just being brutally honest, I am not a perfect man, but I am faithfully fearing God at least. And I know that so many of you are doing it here. And when I fall short of the responsibilities, she doesn't berate me. Instead, she calls me to the identity that I have. Hey, you are born to lead. I trust you. She is gracious in her feedback to me, and this is so key, generous in her trust for me. I recognize that as I preach this, men, if you're going to fulfill the responsibilities that God has for you, you have to put a significant amount of trust in his lordship over your life because you are not going to be able to do this without him. His grace is sufficient for you. Ladies, I recognize the challenge. That's why it's so important to make really clear who are you going to make a covenant with in marriage. Because every time you commit that covenant, you're saying, I am going to submit to God, and he calls me to submit to my husband. And that requires a lot of trust. In a God who is very trustworthy, but also with a husband who is imperfect. But where our sin might break us, the grace of God fills those broken cracks. So we don't throw out the model and God's heart and design. Instead, we lean into it and we say, Lord, I'm gonna give you my very best and give my family my very best. And Lord, I know you're gonna give us your very best in grace. Here's what godly authority looks like, men, and it's supernatural. I wanna talk about your voice, and I wanna talk about your habits. And I wanna talk about the authority that is expressed through your voice and through your habits. Here's the authority that God has given you. Here's where your jurisdiction is centered around. You have the jurisdiction to speak life, not death, over your wife and over your children. Genesis 1, it speaks of God bringing, before there was Eve, he brings the animals in creation before Adam, and he says, Adam, define. What is this called? And he says, oh, that's an ant, that's a tree, that's a dog. He has given us an authority, men, that our words define in a significant way. What kind of definitions live in your home? Perhaps you said something carelessly and you need to undefine those things. Not this, that. Maybe it is sitting with your wife and your children and saying, hey, I need to repent of the things that I said to you. That was wrong, and there's a new definition in this house today. Because whatever you define, he will back and he'll bring life in. I want to talk about words of affirmation. Looking your children in the eye, looking your wife in the eye, and affirming the work of God in their life. It is one of the big, I know this from personal experience, it is one of the biggest shaping forces that can be in their life. Your voice has an authority that is God-given, and it needs to be exercised in all those various responsibilities that I just listed. That does not require some sort of spiritual Superman. That requires a very ordinary, normal, and intentional man to do the work that he has been called to. I want to talk about your habits, what you model, and the things that you express in love and gratitude for your spouse, for your children. I said this before, and I'll say it again. Your family is not looking for the profound theologian. They are looking for passionate Jesus followers. In that same way, they are not looking for perfection. You know what your family is actually looking for? They're looking to watch your submission to him, to the one who fears God and obeys him. That's what they're looking for. Yeah. Not a perfect man who's gonna get it right. Is he submitted to God? That's right. Yeah. My father, very rarely can I recall back some sort of profound truth that he pulled out of the scripture and taught us, which he did. Can I tell you the thing that sits in my psyche the most that I'm going to, men, we gotta do this, is I can recall at a young age, waking up early, too early for me, and I'm walking into a dark living room with a little dim lamp, and my father's reading the Bible, drinking his coffee. And he doesn't go, hey, let me walk you through what I've just spent 3 hours walking through. It just sent a message to me, oh, this matters to this man. What has supremacy in your life is lived out by your habits and actions. Don't tell me, the 5-minute devotional works for me, Tyler. If you are memorizing stats from sports teams and passionate about your career and all the different plans and meetings that you have, but you're telling me I just don't have the capacity to read the word of God and be an example of it, I go, I just don't believe that. I'm not gonna lighten that load. I'm going to hold it up and go, no, absolutely not. You have the, don't say I don't have the ability to lead spiritually because I'm not a pastor. That's just not true. The Lord gave you this family. You are the perfect man for the job. So if you're here today and if you're a husband and a father, I would love for you to stand. I know it's Father's Day, but I feel like the Lord has more than just honoring Father's Day. If you would stand and you're a husband and a father, I'd like you to stand. And if your family is present, I want you to put hands on their shoulder or hold their hand. If they're not present, I want you to put them in your mind's eye. It's not just that we want to bless fathers today and honor fathers. I want the blessings of fathers to pour out like rivers of living and healing water through our hallways. That we speak life over our marriages, life over the partner that God gave us as a gift. We speak life over our children. We say this, not that, and it is so. This is what it means. We will lead our families spiritually. Men like us at Northlands, we lead like this. We don't look for the lighter load. We don't look for the easy way out. We go, we want the whole thing, Lord. Wives, I would encourage you. You got to know this. I can leave today and you can give me some harsh feedback on any sermon that I give and I'll go, thumbs up. But if my wife does it to me, it will break me. You have the ability, just like your husband has responsibility to bring life to your family, you have the ability to bring life to your man that is profound. You can crush him or you can bring life to him. Submission is not just doing what he says or saying, hey, I think we should go here and following. It is being behind him and saying, I am with you. Just tell him you're with him. We need to hear that so many times. We're constantly going, I don't have what it takes. I'm not good enough. I feel the weight of this. One of the things that you can do just to seal what I'm preaching to your husbands and to the father of your children is to say, I see so many of those things that Tyler spoke about today in your life. Thank you for that. Thank you for fulfilling the responsibilities. Can we do that? All right, husbands and fathers, if you would just pray with me. I'm gonna pray over us, but put hands of blessings over your family. Holy Spirit, it is our godly ambition to surrender our lives fully to your lordship and to your headship. And when you call us to a spiritual design and a way of governance that is your design, we submit ourselves to it. We know that there will be grace upon grace for us where we fall short. We know that there will be grace where sin has broken spaces. You will fill those spaces with your love and your mercy and your grace. But Lord, right now I ask for the husbands and the fathers to bless their families and that we would feel the blessing of you in our lives through these men that you have put before us to lead us. Lord, we will see healthy homes, not just at local church levels. We will see healthy, vibrant homes, Psalm 128 homes in this house because you are good and we know that you have good things for us. Blessed are all those who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience into his way. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like an olive shoot around your table. Yes, this is how the man who fears the Lord will be blessed. May the Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you live to see your children's children. Peace be on all of you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm gonna hand it off.